Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, you can sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. Now, for the topic of today, I want to talk about the number one biggest enemy for daughters of narcissistic mothers. And I'm also going to share two steps to support you in dealing with this. So first of all, I want to ask you, what would you answer if I asked you who is your biggest enemy? Do you feel it is your mother? Is she the biggest obstacle to your happiness? Do you feel she's the one standing in the way, causing you all the struggle? If this is how you feel, I really get it. And you're not wrong. Having a narcissistic mother is different from meeting a narcissist when you're an adult. Meeting a narcissist at any stage in life can be very hurtful and challenging to deal with, of course. But when it is your own mother, the trauma goes deep, as it started from the very beginning of your life. And then there's the continuation of the abusive behaviors from her, which may go on even now in your adult life. So I get how intense it all feels. I get how you may be feeling like your mother is your number one enemy in a way, like the biggest obstacle to your happiness. And yet, your narcissistic mother might actually not be your worst enemy. I'm going to be controversial today, and I'm doing it from the absolute love that I have for you. Yes, even for all those of you I haven't met yet, and maybe I'll never meet, I still have so much love for you. I do. That's why I do this work. The worst enemy for daughters of narcissistic mothers, the biggest obstacle in the way of their happiness, of your happiness, may not be your mother. Granted that she is challenging, hurtful, and toxic, of course, there is something that can be in your way even more than your mother is. There can be something way more subtle at play, and that may very well be the biggest obstacle in your healing journey. And I'm going to speak to it in a second. As I mentioned, having a narcissistic mother is different than meeting a narcissist later in life. Actually, if you had safe and emotionally mature parents, you would probably recognize the red flags of narcissistic behaviors, even without knowing that there is a narcissistic behavior. Like, you would recognize that it's toxic, that this behavior is not on. You wouldn't accept it, and you would set your boundaries straight away, because coming from a safe childhood, an emotionally safe childhood, with parents that were emotionally mature and available for you, you would have all the tools you need to be able to navigate a situation in meeting someone with toxic tendencies in adult life. Having a narcissistic mother, as you know, creates developmental trauma, a slow but sure consistent summing up of all the unsafe moments since the beginning of your life. All of this then has the added bonus of societal and cultural taboos related to talking bad about your mother, the lack of understanding from those who have not experienced it in their life, the fear of being the crazy one because of all the gaslighting you may have received from your narcissistic mother, the guilt of turning against your mother, because no matter what, no matter how toxic she is, that guilt still can come up. And the loneliness you might be feeling because of all the enablers and the flying monkeys, and the list goes on. So when dealing with maternal narcissism, it is important to understand all of this, that these are the effects that it has, the impact that it has, so you can start being very kind with yourself and know that you're not crazy, absolutely not, and that you deserve love and support. Yet, this is a double-sided blade. All of this information, which is very essential to your healing, can also become a story on repeat in your head. A story that will keep you stuck if too much focus goes on it. So our worst enemy as daughters of narcissistic mother can very well be the story we play on repeat in our head. Yes, it all started with our mothers, of course. The story wouldn't be in your head at all if your mother didn't have narcissistic and toxic behaviors, and that's true. And yet this story becomes our biggest block when it plays on repeat, feeding unhelpful energies of victimhood and of blame. And I know that you might actually feel a lot of resistance here and go, well, I'm not a victim. And of course you're not. I am not saying that. But when we play this story on repeat in our head, the energies that we feed are ones of victimhood and of blame. In the words of trauma expert Dr. Gabor Mate, and I'm quoting him, we may not be responsible for the world that created our minds, but we can take responsibility for the mind with which we create the world. In other words, it's not your fault your mother is the way she is. None of it is your fault. None of what you have been through in your childhood is in any way your fault. It's not your fault that even that story plays in your head. That's not your fault. None of the ways you've learned to cope make you a bad person or a broken one and are your fault. And yet, as Gabor Mate says, we can take responsibility for the mind with which we create the world. So that means you can now choose what story to play in your head. You are now able to choose that. You're responsible for that. Personally, and this is the main reason I'm bringing this topic, which is really important, I have played a story of victimhood and blame for the most part of my life. I've fed it and made it bigger, all the while making myself smaller. Because as that story grows, I had to shrink to feed into it. I've gathered evidence all around me to feed that story until my life completely proved the story to be true. This translated in a life of struggle and complete hopelessness. So believe me when I say I have zero judgment for the story you might be telling yourself on repeat in your head. I've been there and I still do it in ways I'm yet to become aware of, because the main thing is we're often not aware of the story that we're playing on repeat in our head. I definitely wasn't. It was a big support for me to have someone from the outside, a mentor, a guide, helping me in really understand, at the very least at the beginning, what story I was actually playing in my head. And when we are aware, we mightn't actually be aware of the actual impact that that story has. And when we're very caught in blame, we go with blaming other people for what's happening in our life, not realizing that actually that story that we're playing in our head has quite the power on what is happening in our life. So, as I said, for all those years, I was not aware of how the story was dictating my life. And I also believed the story completely. I felt hopeless and small and a victim of my mother's toxicity. What's key to note is that there's an immense importance in receiving validation for all of this, for the story you have. For most of us, this story has been denied for so long. We've been through gaslighting and put downs, and we have self-doubt, and we need validation. So none of what I'm sharing in these episodes is to invalidate your story. Not at all. I'm not saying that that story that you have, it's not valid and that it doesn't have reasons to be there. Okay, that's important. Yet, it is essential to become aware how this story can fuel a state of victimhood and of blame which will not support your healing. And that's the most important thing, is for you to be able to be happy, for you to be able to reclaim your life That story isn't helpful. When we feel we're the victim in a situation, we have no power to change it. And it doesn't matter if you call yourself a victim or not. Maybe you don't. I never actually did outright call myself a victim. I was fully sure that I was not playing a story of victimhood. Quite the opposite. I felt like I was going at it quite strongly in many ways. And yet, in the story I was telling, like very subconsciously, and then I became aware of it and brought it into the conscious. But when I wasn't aware of it, that story was a story of victimhood, very much so. When we tell a story of blaming others, focus on what others constantly do to ruin our life, as true as it may be, we have no power to change anything about it. So we're telling a story of hopelessness at the same time, and we may not be aware of it because we can't change others. So when we're constantly blaming others, we're actually giving them the control of our life. The story you tell about yourself forms your identity. Even if you feel you don't know who you are, your identity right now may not reflect your authentic self yet, but it's an identity nonetheless. And it's based on the story you tell yourself. As said by Tony Robbins, and I'm going to quote him, identity is this incredible force that controls your whole life. It's invisible, like gravity is invisible, but it controls your whole life. When the story we tell is one of victimhood and blame, we feed that identity. The identity of a powerless victim who has no power over their life. And we're going to stray true to that identity. As Tony Robbins says, it's an incredible force that controls your whole life. So we're going to stay true to that identity. Even if we're not aware of that identity, we're still going to stay true to it, meaning our mind is going to constantly focus on evidence reinforcing this identity, which inherently is based on being powerless and defenseless at the mercy of those who want to hurt us. The story I used to tell myself, and that sometimes still wants to come to the surface, was a story of being powerless in the face of cruel people, my mother being in the very first place, and defenseless against the cruelty I couldn't understand. I remember asking myself, why are they doing this? I can't get why. Why a mother is doing this? Why? And I got stuck in that, and I was spent afternoons, like even as a teenager, but afterwards also in my adult life, days and days and weeks trying to figure out why, and never actually focusing my energy on myself, always having this focus of energy on why was my mother doing these things? Why were people being cruel? So it was a story also of not being enough and too much at the same time, and a story of constantly blaming others for how my life was going and for all the pain that I had suffered up until that point, and that I was sure I was going to be continuing to suffer for the rest of my life. And there is a moment when we may have the need for the story to be heard and validated by others. As I said, that's an important part of it. This story that you may carry within, that you may not even be fully aware you carry within, may have been invalidated very, very often by your mother and by others. So there is a moment when we may, in our healing journey, have the need to tell that story, for that story to be heard and be validated. That was definitely part of the journey for me. So I'm not saying with this that you should be quiet about what you've been through. There is healing in letting your voice be heard within a safe space. So that's very important. What I'm talking about here is the story you're fueling in your head over and over. Do you ever find yourself saying or even thinking things like, I'm hurt once again. This is just the story of my life. Or, what can I even do when my mother is so cruel? Or maybe you repeat often to yourself, it's also hard. There's nothing I can do to get out of this situation. It's hopeless. Or no matter how hard I try, nothing changes. Or no one gets how hard my life is. Life is a constant fight. And so on. If you do, no part of you is bad or wrong. It's very important. I always want to say that. Be kind with yourself. Be so very kind with yourself, because none of it is wrong or it's your fault or makes you a bad person or a broken person. I've had plenty of those thoughts. Plenty. They've driven my life for so long. My mother brought me up believing hope was for deluded people. She literally used to say that, you know, like she had these horrible ways of saying it, that living in hope meant being ultimately a stupid person. So that was one of her main teachings. And I believed that for a very long time. And she always said, and she probably still says it, it's just I'm not talking to her right now, but she was always saying, life is hard and then you die. And then, because she actually believed that maybe we reincarnate, she would say over and over again. So life is hard and then you die and over again. So how hopeless is that? That's terrible. And I repeated that as if it was my story. Just to connect with her, you know, and then because that was her belief. So of course I had to make that my own belief. The thing is, your mind is always listening to you. So, you know, all those statements that I'm after telling you, like saying on repeat that life's so hard, that no matter how hard you try, nothing changes, that people are cruel and you're going to suffer all your life and all of that. Your mind is always listening to you. And if this is the story you tell, you will feed an identity of being powerless. This means you will remain stuck in pain and struggle. And this story is nothing other than your mother's voice on repeat in your head. Don't you want to kick her out? Get her out of your head? Florence Gibbon, author of Women Living Deliciously, said, and I'm paraphrasing, that when you listen to the voice in your head that tells you to be fearful or that tells you that you can't do it, you're listening to what she calls the council of judgmental dickheads in your head, and they own your life. And that when I read this part in her book, I was like, yeah, I really get it. I have a council of dickheads, and pardon the word, sitting like on my shoulder, my mother being in first place. So that counsel in your head, repeating all your limiting beliefs to you as if they were truth, is formed by your mother and all the enablers, all the flying monkeys, and all the abusive people in your life. A counsel of people you definitely don't want to listen to. When I realized that through me retelling the story over and over, feeding it in my head, my mother still owned my life. That was the pivotal point for me. It was like, no more. No more. You're not owning my life anymore. That's it. Like, I'm still living a life of struggle and of unhappiness and of hopelessness because of your voice in my head. Enough. That's not going to happen anymore. That was my thing. It was like, enough. Doesn't matter the miles I had put between myself and my mother. That story I was feeding in my head was still a sign that she still owned my life. She still owned every decision I made. She still owned how I dressed, how I spoke, how I behaved, how I felt about others. To hell with that. That was like enough. So how do you know you are telling that story inside yourself? Because that's actually one of the key points. You're like, okay, this is all very well and good. Now you're telling me that this story I'm feeding in my head is actually my mother still owning my life. Great. But how do I know? that I'm telling this story inside myself. So, any thinking that places you in a position of feeling powerless, incapable, or stuck, that's feeding that story. Simple as that. You're infinitely capable, and you are super powerful. And you may not feel that way, but you are. So any thinking, in any way, any choice of words, any thought patterns that puts you in a place that makes you feel incapable, coming up short, not enough, or too much, powerless and stuck, that's that story playing in your head. That's the story that needs to shift. To quote again Tony Robbins, your capability is constant, but how much of it you use depends upon the identity you have for yourself. And that's key. That's really, really key. Okay? So he says your capability is constant, which is true. That's your infinite power. You were born with infinite power, with infinite capability, with so much potential in you. Amazing. Like this seeds, this kernel, this spark of superpower is in you from the very beginning. But how much of it you use depends upon the identity you have for yourself. And because we've had narcissistic mothers, which didn't help us very much creating an identity that it's empowering, they actually did the opposite, then of course, we may not be using that power to its full potential. And you may feel like you're incapable and powerless and all of that. But that's a story. So until you feed an identity of victimhood, of hopelessness and blame, you're not tapping into the infinite capability you have. And so much energy goes into keeping yourself powerless. That was another thing that when I realized that, the amount of effort, because your natural state is one of infinite capability. It's one of infinite potential. It's one of expansion. So to keep yourself small, you need to use a lot of energy. And I know we do this subconsciously. We're not doing it consciously, of course. But that's what's happening. A lot of your energy. No wonder then you feel lack of motivation. No wonder you feel depressed. No wonder you feel like you don't want to get up out of bed in the morning. I felt that way. God, like getting up out of bed in the morning was like the hardest hurdle for years. And at the same time, my biggest achievement, because eventually I did get up. But it was so hard, like it was so intense. And that was coming from the amount of effort into keep feeding that story, the amount of effort into keep believing the identity that my mother had ever so kindly gifted me with. This is an essential shift. So what we're talking about here today is an essential shift in your identity. And this happens when you start shifting your beliefs, when you start telling yourself another story, which is a journey, I get it, and doesn't happen overnight. But becoming aware of what story you are telling yourself is the first step. As Gabor Mate said, you're not responsible for what happened in your childhood, but you're responsible now. You were powerless then. You were a child. What could you have done? You were just a child. So no need to beat yourself up for that. That you did your best because you were just a child. But you are powerful now. You are capable now. You are able to be responsible and choose now. So you can shift all the effort that you're putting in telling a story that holds you back into telling a story that supports you in feeling capable. All that energy you're using every day to fuel a story that isn't helpful for you, you can redirect that energy and put it towards a story that supports you. The medicine to counteract the story that holds you back is in two steps. Two steps. And we sort of already touched on them throughout the episode. Step one is becoming aware. And you're doing it now because you're listening to this. And there may be resistance. there may be resistance. You may be thinking, what a lot of bananas. I'm not telling a story of victimhood. And I've denied it as well for very, very, very long. As I said, I thought I was not. I was fully sure the story I was telling was quite the opposite. But the thing is, whatever we tell rationally is one beautiful thing. But what we're telling in behind the scenes, in our subconscious, the innermost beliefs, that's actually what drives things in your life. So that's the one you want to become aware of. So already by becoming aware that that's happening, even though you may not have yet all the details, but you're aware that that's a possibility, that the story you may be telling may actually be one that is unhelpful for you, that's the first step. The second step is take responsibility. Take responsibility for that story. You weren't responsible when you were a child, as in, yes, you were in ways that you figured out how to cope with the situation. You figured out how to survive. That's amazing. But now you are fully responsible, meaning you can choose a different story to tell yourself, one in which you can do it, one in which you are not a victim, but an amazingly powerful human being. And do you need any evidence for that story? I'm going to give you some evidence. Already, by the fact that you're here, I don't even need to meet you to know that you're here now. None of what you have been through has defeated you, because your super wise system found great ways to cope and bring you here. So just by knowing that you're here now, I can already tell you that there's great wisdom in your system, and that you're still courageously searching for ways to reclaim your life by educating yourself. You're here listening to this podcast, and I'm sure you are looking into plenty of resources. So you are still searching for ways to reclaim your life. Despite being brought up by a narcissist, you're kind, you have empathy, you have a loving heart capable of caring, which are all superpowers. You're resilient and tenacious and unstoppable because you're still here. So here you go, I gave you a kickstart. That's evidence, that is evidence, and you can argue with me. I'm not going to be moved on this, because I know that by being here and showing up, listening to this show, doing what you're doing, the work that you're doing, searching for ways to reclaim your life, you're showing your resilience, your tenacity, your unstoppability, your incredible courage and capacity. So there you go. That's your evidence. You can start. I gave you a kickstart to retelling a different story for yourself. And I want to add to it that although you may feel lonely, and I get that, you're really not alone in this. You're not. Today, listening to this with you, there are like hundreds of women. Literally, hundreds of women. And a good few men too, because I know we have a good few in the audience. So you're not alone. You're really not alone. And there's plenty of daughters of narcissistic mothers who are not listening to my podcast and are listening to other resources. So you're not alone. You're really not alone in this. And you do deserve to tell a different story about yourself. You do. As I said, it's a council of people you don't want to be listening to. That voice, that story that makes you feel stuck and incapable is still your mother owning your life, and you don't want that anymore. To reclaim your life, you need to start by right now to tell a different story about yourself. And I know you can do that. And if you need support, there's all the links in the description as to how I can offer you support with the community and with the one-on-one work. And then there's other support out there. If you don't feel called to do it here, that's fine. There's plenty of amazing resources out there. Choose the support that resonates with you the most and go for it. You deserve that. You so, so, so deserve that. So with that, if you have any questions, reach out. My email is matilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And I wish you a wonderful week. Send you lots of love. Bye for now.